Welcome to the Wildly Balanced Podcast.
Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to bring more fun and wildness into your work-life balance.
Join us every week for our favorite tips on how to have more fun, shift your mindset, and let your wild side flow.
Welcome back, Jill.
What up, Car? How was your weekend?
It was good. I had a good weekend. My mother-in-law's in town, so we went snowboarding, went up the mountain because it's still March when we're filming this.
I saw that, and like, I knew you were busy because you ignored me all weekend long. So I know that that usually
means fair.
Carly has other plans, and it's not fair or nice, but I understand.
My dearest apologies.
Rightfully so. Thank you.
How was your weekend?
It was good. Just kind of low-key. Relaxing. Yeah, it was really nice. Quiet.
Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sarah gets what I'm saying. She was dancing along to that.
There was trouble in the neighborhood. Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. It is about a United States place, not a Canadian place. So I know what you're talking about.
Fair. Very fair.
Ma'am. But yeah, no, it was nice. It was like, I got laundry done and I actually like, folded it and put it away in the same day. So I felt very accomplished.
So you're like, that's your productive limit for the week.
I'm like, well, now I won't do anything else for the rest of the week. You're welcome. No more
but
laundry.
At least you did laundry.
At least I put it away because sometimes it
just impressive.
Sits in that laundry basket clean until we wear it again. And then we put it back in the laundry basket to wash it again. So
that's totally fair. I'm genuinely good at folding it right away, but it never gets in the closet.
No. I mean, to be fair, I don't really fold any of my stuff. Like, I have that unlovable chair in the room where, like, all of my, like, hoodies and stuff that should go in the closet, like, hung up are. But, like, all the shirts and stuff are folded and put away in the dresser and stuff like that.
Proud of you.
Thanks. Very accomplished.
Nice. Should we get after our fun laundry chat?
No. Oh, yes.
Well, I hope all of our beautiful listeners are loving these guest episodes because they're my favorite. And we have a super exciting guest again today.
Whoop, whoop, another guest.
Guests are the best. We have the most wonderful Miss Sarah Hennessy. And I just have to say, Sarah, you're the most badass last name. I know it's a married name and you're just like, is that why you chose him just for his last name?
I mean, partly. But it's funny, I have never received so many compliments on a last name until I got married. And like, because you have to, like, I don't know, put your first and last name down, like when you go to a restaurant and stuff because of COVID. Every time I say my last name now, somebody's like, that's amazing. Or I love that last name. What a great last name. And I just think it's
so good. It's so good. I feel like Sarah Hennessy just flows off the tongue too.
It does, right? It's a great name.
I didn't know you had to put your first and last name down. That's not a United States thing when you go to restaurants. That's interesting. Anyway, she is a badass neurodivergent sustainability and wellness coach who moonlights as a launch integrator.
Ooh, Sarah over here balances two businesses, being a neurodivergent and introverted/shy online coach, choosing to do self-love based wellness coaching.
Amazing. Amazing. So our first thing, as we always ask everybody, because I know you've listened to every single episode, obviously, is what are you currently balancing?
That's a great question. Okay, so I guess I'm currently balancing two businesses as well as being an entrepreneur and a neurodivergent, which is probably why the two businesses is happening. That's an ADHD thing.
Two businesses? You're so busy. Can you tell us what those businesses are?
Yeah. Okay. So I originally started as a virtual assistant and then kind of like niched down to launch integration. So as a launch integrator, I help coaches launch their online businesses by providing like project management, backend technical support, all the things that you do not want to do in your launch. Not very many people like the tech stuff. I love the tech stuff. So that is a very fast nutshell of what I do as a launch integrator, but then I'm also a sustainability and wellness coach. So as you mentioned, just recently, I updated that bio to say love-based wellness because it's kind of something that I found was really missing for me. Pretty much everything that I have done in coaching is just created a gap of where like something I was looking for that I just created for myself. So I always say that like I became my own role model because it was what I was looking for. It's just, there's a lot of negativity in the wellness space. And like whenever somebody thinks of health coaching, they think of like, I don't know, these 110 pound fitness influencers, and it may be just not the role model that they're looking for, or they think that if they're going to do wellness coaching or health coaching, then there has to be like, you know, they have to not like something about themselves. And I just don't think that's accurate. I think love should be step number one. It shouldn't be about losing weight or changing anything. It should really just be about getting your self-love first, and then everything kind of falls into place. But then, you know, in true ADHD fashion, that can be the only thing. So then I added sustainability on top of that, because I just think like those two are so important, like our health and the health of the planet, just they naturally should go together. So things that are like healthy for us are healthy for the planet, and things that are good and healthy are always good for us. So.
So good. That's so true. How like humans and Mother Nature are just so connected. And it's like, obviously one is going to feed off the other, and we should just take care of everybody. I love that. I also love launch integration. It sounds so fancy. So cool.
I know. I love that term, integrator. Because then, yeah, I just feel like it's such a fancy name. I'm an integrator.
It's so interesting hearing about how you got into coaching and how you found like wellness coaching, and just like the journey from not really seeing yourself represented in health and wellness coaching, and then being like, you know what? I'm going to be my own role model. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a weird combination, like an introverted neurodivergent, or like an ADHD person who is more of a shy introvert. Because in the online space, it's not that you don't see people with ADHD, just maybe they don't talk about it as much. And it's a very like extroverted world. And so then I was just finding I was having a hard time trying to do the extroverted stuff as an introvert, because obviously it just didn't work or align with me. And then I just wasn't finding introverted wellness coaches, neurodivergent wellness coaches. So I was like, well, why not it just be me? You can be your own role model. Just give yourself exactly what you need. And then, you know, it was like, well, maybe somebody else has the same kind of mindset as me and is looking for something like that. So.
Yeah, because not everyone is capable and willing and wanting to be their own role model. So it's beautiful that you've kind of stepped into this power of being the role model that people need.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely not for everyone. Some people don't love like stepping forward to do that. But like, you know, wellness is good for everybody. And everybody's got their own journey to wellness.
Wellness is good for everybody.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think too, like I would love hearing that you're an introvert in this whole extroverted universe that is like coaching, especially. So, I mean, I would love to know more about like a piece of advice you'd give someone who is maybe more introverted wanting to start out a career in coaching.
Yes. Great. I love answering this. Like the thing that I would always say is like something that I really had to work through is like extroverted coaches are very much like, here's the strategy. You have to do this. And then like as an introvert, you step forward and you try to do that. And like, it doesn't align. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't work. And then you're like, well, this is the strategy, but it didn't work for me, which means there has to be something wrong with me. Because introverts, we tend to always like, if something doesn't work or something goes wrong, immediately it's a personal thing. Like I find most introverts feel this way. And so I really had to work through this idea that like, just because an extroverted coach goes and says, this is what you have to do to receive this result, does not mean that is what you have to do to receive that result. It has to work for you, right? Like if it works for an extroverted coach, that's great. But like, it doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And it's like something that I found along my journey of being, you know, both an introvert and neurodivergent, because also a lot of like strategies that coaches push also don't work for somebody who's brain works a little differently, but a lot of people can't, like if you don't have a neurodivergent brain, a lot of people can't understand what it's like to have a brain like that. And so them saying, this is the strategy, this is what works, this is what you have to do, you know, like it, they can't understand that maybe another brain isn't going to work the same way and that strategy is not going to work for them. So yeah, my biggest piece of advice is just because somebody says you have to do it, doesn't mean you have to. That strategy has to align with you in order for it to work for you.
Totally. And I think that is such a beautiful message and one that I think Carly and I have been preaching for a little bit too, of like, just because it's the way it's always been doesn't mean it has to be that way type of thing. Like you can do what feels right for you, do what feels good for you.
Permission to break social norms.
There you go.
Permission to be untraditional.
Yes. All those permissions.
100%. Because people can really see it. Like if you're trying to do something and it doesn't align with you and you don't feel like it's working, you don't like it, people can see right through you. And so, of course, you're not going to attract people. You're not going to get clients if you're doing this thing that you're told you have to do and you don't like it. Like energy is a lot more powerful than a lot of people acknowledge. Like you don't have to be, you know, this energy guru to feel somebody's energy, right? Like you read a post and you're like, that sounds so fake. You know, like, yeah, they'll see right through you.
Totally. It's a nice balance of like trying to find what works for you and also being authentic to who you are and like, you know, being transparent.
Exactly. It's not like the strategies don't work ever. Like, obviously they work for somebody because somebody's like, this worked for me. But yeah, I think that's the key, is like balancing showing up as like who you are.
Just like a lot of permission to be who you are and do what you want to do. And I feel like Jill was saying, we preach this a lot in our podcast of like living the non-traditional life and just accepting that trial and error and letting it be part of your everyday of like, if it doesn't work for you, it's not going to work. And if it doesn't feel right, like switch it up.
Yeah, 100%.
I was going to say, yeah, I totally use that. I feel like trial and error is just like the crux of coaching almost. Like you kind of use that with all, I mean, I use it with all of my clients of like, we're not going to be able to like have one conversation and like give you the magic key to open every door. Like it's going to be a lot of like, let's try this out, or like what worked, what didn't work. And so much like all of life is trial and error.
Yeah. And I do find it funny, like, when coaches use the messaging, like, I did trial and error and now I've created this way so you don't have to. And it's like, yeah, they still have to. Like, your way may not work for everybody, and that's totally fine. And them going and taking your coaching services is just part of the trial and error.
Can you tell us? I'm curious what your thoughts are. Like, what's a common myth you see around coaching?
I love this question. Okay, so it's really going to be like not a popular opinion, because pretty much every business coach that I have talked to says this, but I do not think that your messaging and the way that you attract clients has to come from them having a problem or them struggling. I get so tired of people coming into my inbox and like almost forcing me to admit a struggle just so that I can be like their ideal client or fit their services. But like every business coach out there is like, oh, create your niche. You have to solve a problem. And like, that's great if that works for you. But as a wellness coach, I don't only want to be attracting people who are struggling. That is totally fine. But I think that you can invest in coaching, not because you have a problem, not because you're struggling, but simply because you want to invest in yourself, in your personal development. You want to make some improvements. You want to have experience growth. And so I help statement, or like my messaging focus around like, are you struggling with XYZ, or do you have this problem or something like that, which I know is totally crazy. Most people are like, no, you have to focus on solving a problem for somebody. Your messaging has to solve a problem for somebody. And I just think like you can still accomplish attracting clients and helping people without having to be like, you know, do you hate your job? Then you can have my coaching.
Totally. And I think it's like, it goes to the sense of too, like, coaches aren't here to like solve problems either. We're here to support, we're here to guide, we're here to work. And like, sometimes, you know, the person might not be ready for change. And that's like, you can't put that back on the coach either. Like, you have to put that on the person. And I feel like that's something where, like, you know, we get into that spot as coaches of like, you know, wanting to really find that ideal client so it like works beautifully for it. But like, I love the fact that like you can kind of work with everybody where they're at the same time, in the sense of like, you know, maybe you got them to like right where they need to be, you're supporting them, but like they can't make that change. And like, we're not here to make that change for them. We're not here to like force them into making that change. And that's okay. Like, they're still struggling and that's okay. And they don't have to change that. So I do love that. You don't have to like solve a problem either, because I don't think you can sometimes.
Yeah. And I think it's really funny because a lot of coaches, you know, say like, you know, as a new coach, like step back from the results. Like, if they don't receive the results, like don't take it personally. But then they teach you that you need to be very problem focused. So it's like, we're attracting clients with this particular problem, saying that, hey, I can solve your problem through whatever I do with coaching, but I'm backing away from your results. Like, I can't guarantee that I can solve that problem, even though their messaging says that they can. That just, to me, feels really problematic. And then it creates this whole, like, everywhere you go, it's, what's your number one struggle? What's your number one problem? Every time you go into a new Facebook group, guarantee one of the questions that you're going to have to ask is, what's your biggest struggle with whatever the topic of the group is? Or somebody jumped into your DMs. Then, like, there was one time I had somebody ask me about my self-care practices. And I was like, I love my self-care practices. Here's what I do. And it was like, she just kept pushing and asking questions and like being like, oh, but you have to have a struggle. And it's like, no, I don't. I don't have to have a struggle. I just genuinely like what you have to say, and I would take your course, but I don't have, like, I'm not struggling in this area. I just want to learn more. Like, what's so sad about that? So like, when I create messaging, or, you know, my I help statement, really focus like on what I want them to accomplish and the result in their struggle, whether they have it or not. It's just not as relevant. And maybe that'll make it harder for me to attract clients, but I'm kind of okay with that. Like, I just don't want to pigeonhole people into like, you have to have a struggle or we can't work together. It just doesn't feel right.
And I feel like there are situations and coaches where this pigeonholing and this like niching down really does work. Like, if you're a business coach and you want to help clients get to like 10K months, which is something we talk about a lot, like these buzzwords, or like, you know, if you're a podcast producer and you're like, hey, I can get you this many podcast views, like there are situations where it does work to do that. But then wellness coaching is such a broad like topic and subject. So I really like that you're saying that and dropping that mic on us all.
Yeah. And I mean, and like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not saying don't ever do it. I don't ever focus on the problem. Like, if that works for you and like it feels really good, then do that. Like, for me, I personally don't want to do that. I would rather focus on, here is the result that I get, regardless of whether, you know, you're struggling or you want to learn or whatnot. Like, I mean, it could even work for a business coach if they really felt as strongly about it as I do. Like, you can still say, like, I'm going to help you achieve 10K months without necessarily saying you have to be struggling financially. But
totally.
Like, if you want to be focusing on the problem, that's also great too. You're, like, the permission to do what feels good for you.
Permission to not talk to the pain points.
If you don't. And we all know that those questions on Facebook are just like data gathering and like, sales.
And I feel like, called out right now.
Yeah,
like, I gotta go switch my questions.
But it's great. Exactly what Jill said. Like, it's data gathering. And so if somebody genuinely has a struggle, like, it is really good to have that data. But it's also okay for somebody to answer that question on Facebook and say, I'm not struggling right now. right? Like sometimes I join a group and I'm like, I generally can't think of a struggle that I have right now. And then sometimes I join a group and I'm like, yes, I know right away that I am struggling with this. And like, I think it's okay, you know, to join a Facebook group and still say, I'm not struggling right now, but I'll let you know if I start struggling.
Right. Or to join a Facebook group because you're looking for tips or tricks or more messaging or something like that. Like, I totally agree.
Friends.
Like, right. Or Carly just needs friends. So like, she joins Facebook groups. No, I'm just kidding. Gotta pick on Carly.
I'm like,
go be Carly's friend, everybody. But no, I think that's like totally what it is. And that's why, like, most of the times, like, I'm honest in those, because I'm like, well, I know what you're doing. Like, we all do it. So, like, I know it, but it's like, yeah, I'm not. And I love, you know, putting that messaging out there, like you said, of like, you don't have to struggle. Like, you don't have to be struggling for my support. Like, we can work together. And I think, too, like, it's even, the thing is like, I don't need you coming at me and being like, you're struggling with this, Sarah, and this is what you need. And it's like, no, like, have a conversation with me. And I think that's like the art of coaching that's lost sometimes, is like having that consultation conversation of like, just seeing what's going on.
This episode of the Wildly Balanced podcast is sponsored by the How to Hire and Utilize a VA in Your Business Master Training by Carly Tico. Are you ready to hire a VA or outsource in your ever-growing business but not sure how? Grab this in-depth masterclass where I teach you everything you need to know about hiring a VA in your business. Grab it today at the link in the show notes for only $11.
Or like people coming in and like feeling so set, but like I feel like the best relationships I've had as a coach with my clients are like the ones that like we organically talk about like what's going on. Like, what is going on in your life? Like, where are these pinpoints? Like, people that come so, like, hyper-focused on, like, one thing, like, they're never going to get what they want because they're so focused on, like, this, like, unattainable thing right now. And it's, like, as a coach, like, how am I supposed to, like, also lead up to that as well? So, like, I feel like it's one of those two of, like, I'm not going to tell you what your struggle is because then you're just going to focus on that. And if the person's not happy, it's because, you know, it's a goal that they could never achieve in the first place.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, we forget that the role of a coach and the role of like a therapist is really different. When you go to a therapist, you're going because you have a problem. But like when you go to a coach, like we have to remember we aren't therapists, but you know, there is just really something about being a coach where it's a learning process. And just because we want to learn more doesn't mean that we have a problem. And I think that's like what makes coaching so valuable, is it's more about the learning process. And it's like right now I have a friend who's taking like her ICF certification, and so I've done like a session with her, and there really wasn't any like problem solving. It was really like she was telling me like ICF certification, it's like she gets me to do the talking and me to do the solving, which is what's very different about coaching than therapy. And so, I mean, I thought that was
totally
like a weird process, but yeah, she wasn't like, here I am going to solve your problem for you.
Totally. Right. And that's something we talk about a lot in QCA, which is where Jill and I met, which you all know because you've listened to every episode and we talked about it before. Absolutely. Is that like, as a coach, you stay out of fix it mode and like you let your client like come to the results themselves.
Well, and as it's a lot of like I was saying before, like we're no expert. And like as a coach, because I am, I'm ICF certified and nationally board certified health and wellness coach too. So like in both.
Okay, Jill. Okay, Coach Jill Arn.
Let me just pull out my certifications here. No, but in both of them, it's like, you know, you're not that expert in it. Like you're here to like, I like to say with clients and people that don't understand coaching, it's like, think of it as like you're in the car with them and you're in the passenger seat. They're driving. They know you're just holding that map for them. They know the route. Like you're just telling them those turn by turn directions based on like where they want to go. And like you're helping support them in like navigating it. And like, I think that's the biggest thing. And like, even with ICF, it's like the whole thing with them is, you know, the client leads the whole thing. Like, this is a goal of their session. This is a goal of what they want to talk about. This is, and like, we're not here to be like, well, you need X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, you're talking to your client about like, what's going on? What do you need? Like, what do you need to get there? Like, where are the gaps? Like, you're just being curious. Like, a coach is just a curious friend, basically. Well, not a friend, because that's getting weird, but you know what I mean? Like, you're just staying curious with your client. And that's how I think it's so true. And people totally come into it, like you said, thinking like, oh, this is like quick therapy. It's like, no, it's not that at all.
Which is why I think it's so funny that we use like the problem solving language. Like, that's how we attracted them. So of course they're going to come into a coaching session being like, you're going to solve my problem, because you literally told me you're going to solve my problem. Because you told me that you can, because that was how you attracted me to your coaching program. And like I said, like, if that works for you and it feels good and you love it, do it. But like, for me, I'm like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel good. It doesn't line up. I don't want to like force people to have a problem or a struggle that they don't necessarily have. And also, I'm trying to get away from like, you know, the victim mode thing. So, and yeah, I don't want to set up an expectation like I'm going to solve your problem because I told you in my messaging I'm going to solve your problem, and then you get to a coaching call and it's like, no, you're going to solve your problem.
Totally. And I think this is a really beautiful like permission slip too for people. It's like from the other side of like, you don't, I'm not here to solve your problem. It's also like, you don't need to have a problem to hire a coach. You don't need to have a problem to hire a therapist. Like, you can just hire a coach to better yourself. You don't need to have a problem that needs fixing.
Exactly. And that is a huge part of the reason why I sort of shifted to like love-based, right? Like, I'm not in the market of telling people that they have a problem or that they need to be fixed. Because I think that's a huge, I mean, that's one of my pet peeves about the health and wellness industry, is there's like so much unloving garbage out there. It's no wonder people show up and have body issues or hate themselves or have mental health issues, because that's literally what we're drilling into people's heads. It's so unloving to like scroll through Instagram and everybody be like, you have a problem, you need to fix this, you blah 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 blah. So I just was like, no, I'm tired of the judgment, I'm tired of the bias, I'm tired of just like always feeling so bad about myself. I just want to love people, and I just want people to love themselves. Like, can we just stop going on the internet and judging people as if we are just like these saints, that we are so much better than ever? Can we just not love ourselves and love other people? Like, I just had so much to ask, you know?
Right. And yeah, it's everywhere. Like you said, it's like, it gets me all the time. Like, even when you're on social media, whatever it be, like whatever website you scroll, but it's like the people are like, oh, test your partner to see if they won't flirt with someone else. It's like, really? Like, you can't just believe in trust and love, and like, are you really that insecure? That just like gets me sometimes, of like, there isn't enough love. Like you said, like, it's, people are always like, you know, being told that they're not good enough, or they don't look good enough, or they're not fitting those like standard beauties, or like, even with just like getting older, and like, I get all this like hair stuff now of like, is your hair thinning? I'm like, yeah, mine is, and I know it is. Like, I don't need more people to tell me. Like, it's like all this stuff. It's like, they just, everyone's pinpointing these problems, and it's like, I don't need that. Like, I need that love. You need that love. And I love that that's what you're doing, and you're providing that for people, because it is. It's like, why can't we just like focus on more loving ourselves? And like, you know, yeah, you love yourself. Let's love yourself even more. Like, you don't have to problem. You can just keep deepening that love for you.
Exactly. And like, I really want to get away from this whole, I have an issue with my body, I think it's too big, I think it's X, Y, Z, and that's why I'm doing health coaching, or that's why I'm doing wellness coaching. Like, we don't have to hate our body or hate ourselves in order to go and hire a wellness or a health coach. Like, that just should not be a thing.
Say that again for the people in the back.
Yes, you do not have to hate your body to hire a health and wellness coach. Yeah.
Amen.
That's why the number one goal of my coaching services is love. you know, love for yourself. I don't care if you lose weight. I don't care if you lose inches. That is irrelevant because, you know, like, is that 110-pound stick automatically healthier than, you know, a woman who's 180 pounds? No. Like, I have plenty of super skinny friends who have literally the worst health habits I have ever seen in my life. And then I know people who are bigger than me, who love themselves and have the most impeccable health habits. And like, that person is way healthier than that like little stick figure who has terrible health habits. Like, you don't need to, you don't need to want to lose weight, or you don't need to hate yourself in order to benefit from this kind of coaching. Like, I just think that's totally
right. Yes. Wellness is so much more than like your outside body and your perspective. It's like so much inner work too.
You don't know. And you don't know what someone's doing. Like you said, like, someone could be like 250 and like working out every day, busting their ass, and still be feeling healthy and like working on their weight loss or their health journey. And someone could be like 110, eating ho-hos on the couch every day, you know, not doing anything. And like, you just don't know. And like, to like we just expect to and think that these people who are, you know, that skinny figure is like so healthy, when we're not even sure what these other people are doing to like support their needs either, or like their health habits. So I love that.
This may be my unpopular opinion, but Jill, what's a ho-ho?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing, actually.
Oh my God.
An American thing.
The Hostess ho-ho. Like it's a, we'll post a video on Instagram about it for the Canucks in here. No, the Canadians here that don't understand. Delicious desserts from, I'm going to post one for you guys to look at right now, but continue on while I, now I want a ho-ho. So thanks, guys.
Permission to get a ho-ho, Jill.
I want to see if we can find one in Canada. I've never heard of one before, but sounds great to me.
Amazing. This has been such a beautiful conversation, Sarah, and I just want to appreciate you for joining us.
We talked about, you know, the unpopular opinion about health and wellness coaching, but any other good one that you want to throw out there? I feel like it's just such a fun question to ask and like really dive deep into those unpopular, like all the things.
We just want you to offend some people.
Offend everybody.
Okay. Well, I actually don't know if this is an unpopular opinion, but this is my opinion. I think people with ADHD make the best entrepreneurs.
You heard it here first, folks.
I mean, whose brain can literally think as fast and as wide, like, you know, on multiple topics as a person with ADHD? You know what you need to be an entrepreneur? Like, you have so many balls in the air. It's literally the life of a person with ADHD. That's all I'm saying.
I love it. I feel like we've got an ADHD theme going on, because two episodes ago, we had the wonderful Miss Kat Fragoso on here, and she was talking about her ADHD money mindset.
I work with Kat, and Kat and I did coaching together. I love Kat.
She's so wonderful.
Yeah, she's my ADHD financial coach.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Two worlds collide with that.
But all of our worlds are colliding too, I feel like. And then everyone knows Jenna. That's just where it all goes down into at the end. Everyone loves Jenna. Everyone knows Jenna.
This podcast is literally a Jenna Teague fan club.
Always.
Yes, part of the fan club.
Jenna's got fans all over the globe. But yes. And then so, of course, then to really wrap this up is our permission slips. So I won't make you go first, because I never make our guests go first. I always make Carly go first. So Carly, what's your permission slip say this week?
Oh, thanks, Jill. Just throw me under the bus like usual. I think my permission slip this week is permission to hire a wellness coach, honestly, because I was one of those people that was like, well, I'm perfect. No, not I'm perfect, but I was like, I have nothing that needs
fixing. Carly, you are perfect.
That I know of.
Oh, thanks.
You are perfect, Carly.
Hired. But yeah, my permission slip is permission to hire a wellness coach, even if I don't have something that I need fixing. Right. Jill, what does your permission slip say? We'll give Sarah some more time to think about it.
Yes. My permission slip says, just to incorporate more like love talk into my like my daily life. So I feel like it's super easy to like, I'm definitely one of those like negative self-talkers, and I know it. And I know as a coach is bad. I know as all of the things, like it's not the best thing. And it's just like the way I cope with my own things. But I think too, I know the importance of adding that self-love, all of that love language stuff that you were mentioning, Sarah, and just like really focusing more of that into my week.
I don't know about you guys, but I've been wanting to burst out into like, all you need is love, like all episode.
We do not own the copyrights to that song. Just kidding. But yes, I love that too. So Sarah, what's your permission slip say?
Oh. I love this permission slip idea. By the way, I'm stealing this because it's fabulous.
Give us credit. That's all we ask.
Yeah, exactly. The Wildly Balanced Podcast, gals. Yeah, I guess my permission slip, I mean, this is like my permission slip all the time because it's only been like in the last year that I've really, well, actually that I've told anybody that I have ADHD and that I've really like owned it. So I guess my permission slip would be like, be this beautiful, uniquely quirky, wonderful self that I am.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I love it. And we love you. And thank you so much for being on our podcast. You're amazing. Everyone, if you need a sustainability and wellness coach or a launch integrator, you have your girl. So how can our listeners find you or where can they find you online?
I am probably the most active on Instagram. So you can find me. My handle is SKE Creative Wellness. Formerly was SKE Creative Media, which is still my website. So if you want to check out my website, it's SKE Creative Media. But
amazing. All of the links will be in the show notes. Also, I heard you had a Facebook group. Little birdie
you
told me that.
Facebook group. Yes. Yep. My Facebook group. Oh, goodness. My Facebook group is called hashtag Best Self Women's Club. That is apparently quite a mouthful.
So good. But yeah. Well, it's in the show.
You know, it's love based too. Gotta have all the love.
Love it. We all need to join it immediately. Click the link right now. Join her group immediately.
Join it. Tell her what your struggle is for that data entry.
Yeah, just load it up with this is my struggle.
Yeah, what's your struggle?
Take that, Sarah.
But yeah, and everyone, you could follow us on Instagram at wildly.balance. Check out our website, wildlybalancepodcast.com. Be a friend and a fan. Join the newsletter.
Yes. Also, share this episode with a friend. Share some love.
Yeah.
Give it to your homies. And if you could rate your friend. Yes. If you know someone who's ADHD, send them this episode.
Yes. And then rate and subscribe on your podcast listener. It helps us.
It helps so much to get us seen, get us with all the other people.